Manual, Chapter 1, Section 3. Other Measuring Devices. Shop-made adjustable length gauges. Gil Johnson uses a shop-made length gauge that he first made in high school shop class. The length gauge consists of three small pieces of wood, each roughly 3/8 inches thick and 1 inch wide. The top piece is about 4 inches long and has a long 1/4 inch wide slot routed throughout most its length. A small block about 1 inch square is glued to one end of the top piece. The third piece is about 3 inches long and has a 3/16 inch countersunk hole drilled near one end to accommodate a 3/16 inch flat head bolt. This bolt and a wing nut secure the two pieces together. The shorter piece can be moved along and locked into position at any desired length. This length gauge can then be used to set a cut line on a board or to set a stop block on a saw. Gil has made a series of these gauges from 4 inches long to 4 feet in length. He finds it a quick and handy way to transfer precise distances from one piece to another without the need for any numerical measurement. It is particularly useful for making inside measurements. Bar gauges. Armando Delgado finds simple bar gauges to be very helpful. Bar gauges consist of thin boards overlapped to take or compare inside measurements. He uses the specially designed head clamp from Lee Valley Veritas to fit over two thin measuring sticks with an easy-to-use knurled knob for tightening them into position. Measuring or setup blocks. Other very useful devices include measuring or setup blocks. A simple 1-2-3 block is a piece of wood or metal that measures 1 inch thick by 2 inches wide by 3 inches long. The 1-2-3 block can be used in multiples and in conjunction with fractional setup or measuring blocks to measure various distances. Gordon Mitchell uses setup blocks that are square brass bars about 2 inches long and exactly square in cross-section. Setup blocks come in sets with bars 1/8 inch, 3/16 inch, 1/4 inch, 3/8 inch, and 1/2 inch square. Some sets have blocks 4 inches long with the same square cross-sections. The woodworker can know these sizes by feel, particularly if the set is kept together for comparison. A wide variety of measurements can be made by using the 1-2-3 block in conjunction with the necessary combination of the fractional setup bars. To measure 3 15/16 inches, for instance, use the 3-inch side of the 1-2-3 block with the 3/16 inch, the 1/4 inch, and the 1/2 inch setup bars. To measure 3 1/16 inches, use the 2-inch side of the 1-2-3 block with the 1/2 inch, 3/8 inch, and 3/16 inch setup bars. Gordon also uses small steel angle blocks as setup pieces. The blocks are precision machined to an accuracy of 1/10,000th inch per inch. Each block is 3 inches long, hardened, and lightly magnetized for better holding ability. The set includes angles from 1 degree to 5 degrees in 1 degree increments and 10 degrees to 30 degrees in 5 degree increments. Mickey Fixon has made large angle guides out of medium density fiberboard, MDF, or tempered hardboard. These larger gauges are very useful in setting miter gauges because they are stable and have longer edges to match against a table saw blade when setting a miter gauge. When working in confined spaces or setting fences for the table saw or router to smaller dimensions, The fractional setup blocks and the 1-2-3 block often can be used much more easily than larger measuring devices such as the click rule and rotomatic. All of these devices play an important role for the blind woodworker. With these devices, the blind woodworker can achieve the accuracy needed to do fine woodworking. Braille and talking measuring tools. Rulers and tape measures with scales in Braille or other tactile markings to be read by touch are readily available. Bob Kennedy sometimes uses Braille micrometers, talking calipers, and audible levels. These tools are available through a maker of scientific instruments, although these tools are considerably more expensive. Braille rulers and tape measures simplify making rough measurements, but generally cannot be read any finer than about 1/8 inch, because of the need to be able to feel the marked scale. Often these measuring instruments are not accurate enough for the close tolerance work sometimes required in woodworking. The Braille micrometers and talking calipers have a greater degree of accuracy, but are limited to specialized types of measuring. Talking tape measure. A welcome addition to measuring devices for the blind is the talking tape measure. Talking tape measures speak out the measurements. This device allows easy outside or inside measurements accurate to within 1/16th of an inch. Simply press any of the 5 buttons to activate the voice, but preferably the 0 button, and pull out the tape to the extent necessary, and place the edge of the tape measure housing on one end of the object to be measured, and the end of the tape on the other, and the tape measure will announce the measurement. For inside measurements, be sure to place the tape measure housing back against the inside wall or back to be measured. Extend the tape to the other side, and again the measurement will be announced. This device will give measurements in millimeters, centimeters, meters, feet, and inches, or inches. It also has a memory capability and a way to add measurements to memory. It is produced in different languages as well. Sources for the various measuring tools discussed above are listed in a separate section at the end of this chapter. Marking. Measuring is only half the task. Marking or recording or somehow duplicating a measurement is just as important. Woodworkers measure a board, make a mark at the appropriate measurement, and then use a tri-square or other device to draw that mark into a line that will be used to set up a cut or to position another piece of wood or for some other function. The accuracy of the line depends on the accuracy of making the original mark, of extending that mark into a line, and on the thickness of the pencil lead used to draw the line. Each of these steps is a possible source of error. Taking a second piece of wood, again measuring the same distance, then marking it off into a pencil line, often results in two pieces of wood marked with slightly different cut lines. There is a more precise way. Using a knife to mark the position and to incise the line reduces the margin of error. Marking with a knife severs wood fibers along the line and helps preserve a clean edge when sawing to the line. A marking knife is beveled on one side of the blade. Use the bevel side of the knife on the waist side of the line, and always run the blade's flat side against the steel ruler, straight edge, or tri-square. The blind woodworker needs a slightly different method, however. Theoretically, the knife mark will provide an incised line that can be felt by the blind woodworker. Too often, of course, it's difficult for the woodworker to find the incised line later on in the process. Masking tape placed close to the line is a useful way of quickly finding the general location by feeling the tape and then carefully feeling for the incised line. Using double-faced tape to hold a wood block or stop in position exactly on or near the incised line also may help. To position the stop block, first, place the edge of the knife in the incised line. Then carefully slide the stop block up to the knife to position it exactly. This may be difficult to do when there is double-faced tape on the bottom of the block, causing it to stick prematurely as you try to position it exactly to the knife. If you have first incised a mark on a workpiece, and you want to mark a second piece of wood at the same length, insert the tip of the knife into the incised line. Carefully position the second piece of wood against the knife blade, and then mark off the length at the opposite end of the piece. Or even clamp the two pieces together, and use the first as a template, and cut right at the end of that piece. Since many woodworkers are not able to readily feel a thin knife line with their fingers, they may prefer a line scratched with a sharply pointed awl, spelled A-W-L, or a line scratched with a scribe, also called a scratch awl, because it makes a deeper and more prominent line. Unfortunately, it also makes a wider line. If you use an awl, you can develop the habit, as Bob Kennedy has done, of always positioning the scratch line to be on the waist side of the cut. This will remove any unsightly scratch from the finished project. End of chapter 1, section 3.